This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Daly. Our guest this week is North Carolina 1st District Representative Don Davis. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by NCIS, the National Crop Insurance Services. Crop insurance, the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. AgriPulse Open Mic continues with Congressman Don Davis next. Today's Open Mic segment is brought to you by America's Crop Insurance Industry, which is thankful for the continued support of farmers, commodity organizations, rural businesses, lenders, and lawmakers who are fighting to maintain a strong farm safety net, providing individualized protection on more than 490 million acres of farmland. Crop insurance remains the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. North Carolina Democrat Don Davis finds himself in the thick of agriculture issues in his first term representing the 1st District of his state in Washington. Representative Davis serves on the Agriculture Committee, but he also finds himself on his own party's task force on the Farm Bill and helping to lead a bipartisan group of legislators looking into the industry's need for labor. Davis says rural and agriculture voices are in the minority on the Hill.
Without a doubt, I've been here in committees speaking up for rural America, and I believe sometimes we're just left out, and maybe some do not always understand rural America. You know, I was thinking in terms of our military and JROTC and ROTC programs. You know, just giving our kids the same opportunity as kids in other communities, but there's often these factors based on student census and all kind of factors that leave rural communities out. So, you know, this is a time now more than ever. We have to continue to fight and be a strong voice for the East. When I think about regulations, it's easy to come up and create a policy or create a rule, you know, but these rules have real implications and could definitely impact our farm families. So I think that's a real question, and we're going to continue to be a voice, a strong voice for not only Eastern North Carolina, but I think you're spot on, rural America.
You serve with the New Democrat Coalition and, in fact, are one of the co-chairs for the Farm Bill Task Force. What is the mission or what is the goal of this particular group as a new farm bill will need to be written to replace the soon-to-be-outdated 18 language?
Yeah, the important role that the New Dems in particular play, making sure that you have a group of members who come to the table with the intent of working together to get policy done. In this case, a group of members who want, I mean, we start out by saying we may not know the end result of the farm bill, but we want to come up with the bipartisan solution that's going to work for the American people and especially rural America. We start from that premise, you know, that we want to work with our colleagues across the aisle to get it done. And, you know, I believe we will get there, and I can definitely tell you it's been an honor. I thought the elections were over, but when I showed up to Washington, D.C., I realized you had to run for committee assignments. You had to run for subcommittee assignments. But to land on agriculture was huge for us, and to receive the support from my colleagues to serve as the vice-ranking member was huge. So I spent a lot of time, you know, making my rounds across the East, having listening sessions, so that we can hear then those things that are important. I've heard the concerns about crop insurance, pricing, inflation, the cost, so many issues out there, labor, increasing awareness around agriculture itself, regulations. So there's a lot of concerns, and I can share, been a co-chair of the Farm Bill Working Group and our task force within New Dems. I really want to come in the spirit of working together to deliver a farm bill that's going to work for rural America.
I understand you had a meeting recently, and there will be more opportunities for others to speak.
But what was your takeaway from the first meeting, and what would be your agenda moving forward on the task force?
Yeah, I was really honored to be able to be selected to serve on the Agriculture Labor Working Group task force to help tackle pressing issues facing our agriculture community with labor challenges. And I want to be clear on this. I'm going to step away for ag a second and come back into it. According to the chamber, we have 9.8 million job openings in the country, 9.8 million. But only 5.9 million unemployed workers. That is not an equation that works out well. Even if we had 0% unemployment, we would still have a need for jobs. And when we then look at agriculture as a sector in itself, we are over 370,000 agriculture jobs short. And this is coming from the Labor Department. So we have a huge challenge before us, and I'm going to say it this way. Food security is national security, and we have to do everything we can to protect the American people. I hold on to the words of the late agriculture chair that came from Nash County, North Carolina, in the eastern part of the state, Harold Coley. And he said, the bread and butter, more than bullets and bayonets, the most powerful weapons in our arsenal. I'm saying all this to say, if we do not tackle or try to move closer to closing the gap, in particular with our labor shortage, then it's going to create a national crisis, if not an emergency, for this country. And that's why it was important for me to be a part of this, to serve at the request of Chairman Thompson and Ranking Member Scott. We need to look at ways that we are able to update the H-2A program. I want you to think about this, if you would. This program was put in place in terms of the core components around 1986. Since then, we have another 91 million people just in America alone that we have to feed and clothe. So in some ways we have an antiquated policy that's not kept up with the demand to feed America. I thought the meeting went great. There was a lot of important information shared. I believe the members came with the spirit of realizing the priority of our labor shortage, realizing too that this is not technically under the jurisdiction of the Agriculture Committee. However, if we're not willing to sound the bell, sound the alarm, and let the American people know and our colleagues know up here of a potential crisis that would take place, then who else will do it? But we had to step up to the plate, and I'm really excited, look forward to the work that we'll continue to do, and to deliver a report back to Chairman Thompson, you know, so that we can continue to educate and promote the importance of tackling our workforce, our labor shortage.
I realize this is a speculative question, but have you heard from the Judiciary Committee or the Judiciary Chair about how they may receive the information? Because not only did Chairman Thompson appoint a task force, he gave you deadlines to come up with some sort of a summary and a proposal. So Judiciary is where this has to fly. Have you heard from them?
We've been working, you know, at the direction of Chairman Thompson to move forward to deliver the report. And what I believe is most important in all of this is for us to move forward with the work because the facts are the facts. And I believe that as we continue to educate our colleagues, you know, they're going to have to really give credence to this matter that's before us in terms of the labor shortage.
Do you think you'll be talking about agriculture labor only, or will you address a broader spectrum of the need for migrant labor?
Yeah, I put it this way. Right now, we're really trying to tackle, in particular, the H-2A program, you know, how to perhaps make any enhancement to the program so it's not so antiquated. And, you know, think about this too, Jeff. Times have changed. Technology has changed. And, you know, what before were clear seasons, there's a demand definitely to, you know, produce and, you know, to get it done year round. I mean, there's just a lot of dynamics that have changed since 1986. And not only that, I just believe it's really important now more than ever that we highlight and educate this matter that's before us, this labor shortage. And this is a crucial conversation, perhaps the most important conversation that we can have as it pertains to rural America, and not only that, feeding and clothing the American people.
Well, staying inside the Agriculture Committee, most recently Chairman Thompson, talking to a group of journalists, said that a new farm bill must be bipartisan. So the Democratic Farm Bill Task Force that has been brought together by Leader Jeffries, is this task force an in run around the Ag Committee, or is this group working with the Ag Committee, because some of you are on both?
What I believe you will find members understand the importance of the Farm Bill. We do this every 5 years, and it's essential for the American people to produce a bipartisan Farm Bill. And not only a bipartisan Farm Bill, but one that's done in a timely manner. We can't, you know, play political games and postures with it. So I believe there's credence in all of these task force and working groups that's been put together to, just like anyone else, to weigh into this process to get, at the end of the day, with a Farm Bill that prioritizes the American people.
The budget agreement that kept the government running this spring included work requirements for SNAP. And I understand there are others that are still offering amendments to the SNAP program and work requirements. Is there that much abuse in the system? And if there is, are there changes that need to be made?
Right now, we're looking at the Farm Bill in its totality. There are many parts to the Farm Bill that go beyond just nutrition, SNAP. There's broadband. I mean, there are so many parts of this, rural development. And what I believe you will see is the members come together to weigh and take into consideration everyone's interests and concerns. But at the end of the day, we have to produce. And I truly believe this in my conversations with Chairman Thompson as well as Ranking Member Scott, a strong bipartisan Farm Bill. And I believe we'll get there.
So there are a number in the lower chamber that are a member of the Freedom Caucus. And while American Farm Bureau Federation delegates and some other commodity organizations seem to favor that 2023 would be a year to spend more money on farm programs, it looks as though there are a number of leaders on the Hill that would like to take farm program spending lower than the 23, lower than the 18, and perhaps lower than we've seen in some time. How does a farm bill advance with the Freedom Caucus and others who really want to cut spending?
I believe the farm bill must be crafted to respond to the need of the American people. How do we feed and clothe the American people? We've seen it in the past, and I believe we'll continue to see this, you know, whatever those numbers are in the end. And that is efforts and bipartisan way to put the American people first. When we're dealing with the debt ceiling, you know, at the end of the day, you saw a strong bipartisan vote, even though there were differences on some of these points here. They may very well continue to be some differences here. But I think what we do is work to reconcile as much as we can, and at the end of the day, is see where the bipartisan strength is to continue to deliver for the American people.
Congressman, what's in the legislation that you have promoting precision agriculture, and does that fall within the various titles of the Farm Bill?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, we have a standing bill right now that promotes precision agriculture, and I'm extremely proud of this work. We understand the importance of precision agriculture, and I worked in this particular case on the bill with Representative Tracy Mann from Kansas, and I can tell you right now that this bill has already been passed out of committee, and we're just working right now to try to get it to the floor. I believe that it's a wonderful bill that helps with interconnectivity, those standards around precision agriculture technologies, agriculture including robotic sensors, monitors, drones, how we're able to really take agriculture to the next level. That's going to help us become more efficient and more productive within the agriculture community. So I'm really proud of that bill. I would also share that we have, and I think it's a really important bill as well, that helps in particular rural water systems with cybersecurity. As we're pushing forward with more agriculture and technology within agriculture, we have to become increasingly concerned and aware of cyber threats. And especially when we're talking about small systems, what are our utility systems that are helping us in rural America. So, yes, I'm really proud of this work. We're working on that with Representative Zachman of Iowa. So I'm really proud of, some of the pieces that we've been working on. Very optimistic that, it will come forward. And right now, as I was sharing earlier, that's been standalone, and the bill has had good movement.
Back inside the Agriculture Committee, you serve on the Subcommittee of Commodity Markets, Digital Assets, and Rural Development. So among the various titles of the Farm Bill, nutrition, conservation, the risk management of certain farm programs, where does rural development fit in the various mission areas of this Farm Bill, and is that an area that we can afford to take lightly?
Oh, absolutely. We cannot take rural development lightly. That's, I believe, the heartbeat in many ways of rural America. Again, when we are looking at rural development, and I get this, being from Snow Hill, North Carolina, how much rural communities rely on fire departments, rural volunteer departments often, and you have embedded with rural development facilities, funding to help with facilities, help with government buildings. I mean, just an array of things, but one that I think is most interesting and key to many conversations, and that's broadband. We have to continue to make sure that we're delivering at the final ends of the line, getting broadband coverage out there, and that's going to be huge as we continue in these conversations. And all of this, as part of rural development, it's a huge component of the Farm Bill. We're talking about housing, helping with seniors. I mean, it's just a big area that is quite significant in many of our rural communities truly rely on these programs for critical assistance.
A number of farm groups are either calling for a mandatory update of base acres or a voluntary update of base acres. There are plenty of commodity organizations that are calling for reference prices to better reflect the economics of agriculture today. I recall after the 18 bill was written, then Senator Pat Roberts of Kansas said, we wrote the best bill that we could with the resources we have available. It looks to me as you're starting to craft now the details of this 23 bill, that there are a lot of asks, and I wonder if there are enough dollars to go along with what is said to be the needs of the industry.
Yeah, this is something I've served nearly 20 years now in elected office, and I would start by saying, and all of my elected service, the needs have often been much greater, you know, than the resources. I believe, you know, what we do then is we, through this process, listen to the residents, we try to work on prioritizing, and, you know, you stretch the dollars out as far as you can stretch them within the priorities that are established. And, you know, at the end of the day, there are fundamentals we have to shore up for the American people and rural America. And I believe we just continue to press forward. You do what you can to stretch the dollar. But there's a lot of need out there, certainly. And at the end of the day, we're in a position as an agriculture committee to present to our colleagues as a farm bill moves to the floor and over to the Senate, you know, our version of what we think of how we fund our highest priorities.
Congressman, one last area to touch, and that is of waters of the U.S. now post the Sackett decision from the Supreme Court. The Biden administration suggests that it's time to amend the rule, and plenty in the industry are saying rewrite it. Which side of the fence do you fall?
Yeah, I would say at the end of the day, my actions have been clear, and they will remain clear. I'm going to stand with doing everything we can to protect our farmers, and yeah, I will continue to listen to them on this issue, and yeah, we need to do everything we can to protect the American farmers.
Do you want to amend it or rewrite it?
Well, I'll put it this way. We'll continue to, you know, have those conversations right now. And I welcome having more insight into that.
Congressman Davis, we want to thank you very much for being with us on this edition of Open Mic. It's your first opportunity to be here, and we look for opportunities in the future. But for now, the tradition is that the congressman has the last word.
The last word goes to our farm. I want to personally thank you for all that you're doing to help to feed and clothe the American people. Please know that we are here. We're working hard every single day as we're moving closer on this farm bill to make sure that your voices are heard in this process. But above all, I want to thank you for what you do for the American people and beyond. Thank you so much, Jeff.
Our thanks to North Carolina 1st District Representative Don Davis, our guest this week on Open Mic. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by NCIS, the National Crop Insurance Services. Crop insurance, the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Nally.